Call the December 18th Common Council meeting in order. Madam Clerk, please call the roll, and we have audio problems tonight. Okay, so we're going to speak loudly.
Now we have to wait for
that. Okay. Wow. All right, Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
Mayor Olson?
Here.
Alderman Dandrea?
Here.
Alderman Mayer?
Here.
Alderman Wilhelm?
Here.
Alderman Taylor?
Here.
Alderman Barber?
Here.
Alderman Nelson?
Here. Please rise and join the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Hey, who are we?
Nobody knows who we are. Oh. Okay, so let's get started. We did roll call. First item is B1, citizen's comment period. Any citizen wishing to speak, please rise, come forward, give us your name and address, and let us know what you want to say. Oh, wait, before we do that, I apologize. Tradition here. On behalf of the 254 city employees, I wish all of you a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. I hope it's going to be happy and healthy and prosperous for all of you. So, Merry Christmas. Okay, now. Sorry, I digress.
Do I have a handle? Give this to you as a visual?
Sure.
Okay.
Thank you. Is this a crowd presentation?
Well, we have several parents here. It's from our school neighborhood.
Oh, this is the parking?
Carolyn? Hi.
Yeah.
Are you sure? Okay. My name is Kelly Bardosi. I live at 3727 West Hilltop Lane in Franklin. And I'm here today as a concerned citizen and a resident and parent of the Southwood Glen School, elementary school. We have a handful of parents here from our neighborhood and school system, as well as our principal and superintendent here tonight. I know we have an agenda item, and our principal and superintendent will speak at that time, but we just wanted to express our concerns and our opinions about the issue that we're here to talk about tonight, which is a student safety concern involving the children's safety when they're walking to from school.
Okay. That's not on, so.
Is it not even on? Not okay, sure. It's fine. I'm hoping you can hear me. So their safety walking to and from school involving the parking situation and the traffic situation, specifically on 35th Street, West 35th Street, and Hilltop Lane, the intersection of those two. So our school policy, if you're looking at the handout here, states that all of our car traffic, that includes morning drop-off and afternoon pickup, is to be done on the east side of the school, which is 33rd Street. Second sheet will give you a visual of our street, the map of the streets and the school position on the bottom. Our buses then enter and exit off of our west side, which is 35th Street. So there's a driveway entrance and into a parking lot there. That is meant for our bus traffic. All car traffic is supposed to go to the back side of our school, the east side. Our school policy to keep the kids safe when they do walk to and from or bike to and from, which we have a large number of kids that do that, including all of our children, is that they're dismissed off of the west side, the west doors of our school building, headed west. If you look at the second page, the top visual, you'll see the blue is Southwood Glen. The little box is our actual school. The blue is our boundary line, so headed west. Almost all of our houses are west of Southwood Glen, including all of our homes. And so when our kids are walking home from school, they're not headed east towards 33rd. They are, in fact, crossing 35th Street and going towards their homes, just to make that clear. The issue that we have is that prior to just recently, we have had no signage on 35th Street or Hilltop, whereas most schools do. So there's no parking restrictions, or there wasn't any parking restriction prior to us coming a month or two ago to a public works meeting. So what happens is, although the cars are supposed to go to the east side of the building, people don't like to wait in line, so they all, you know, they'll park along 35th Street where there's room, have their kids listed as walkers, but the kids hop in and the cars hew it out of there or buzz in and out. The children that are legitimately walking home, ours and many others, have to cross against that traffic and cars are trying to get to and from. What we were, we came to the Public Works meeting a couple months ago, was it? And asked for some signs to be put up. So we did, well, I'm going to backtrack one small note to this point. Earlier in the fall when school first started, we took it upon ourselves, this group of moms, to just put out orange cones on the grass. And we handed out flyers, you know, re-educating the parents about what the policy was, why the cars shouldn't be where they were. And it worked very, very well. So just with little tiny orange cones, a visual, us getting out there, everyone, you know, okay, sure, we'll pull around the school to where we're supposed to be. And it separated the kids on foot from the cars greatly. Not 100%, but greatly. And it was a much safer situation. When we came to Public Works a couple months ago to ask for help so we didn't have to go out every morning and afternoon and put cones out, we wanted some permanent signs like the other schools in our district have. They were only approved for 25 feet. So if you flip to the back of the packet, I have some photos of that. From our driveway, there are no sidewalks on the other side of 35th Street where the kids cross, and there are no sidewalks on either side of Hilltop that they walk down to go home. So our kids already are on the grass and have to cross to the grass. The 25 feet really just is about where the first car would be parking anyways. It didn't help us out at all. And in fact, it is only an advertisement of where everyone can park. So we made all this progress with these little cones, and now we have our permanent signs, and it's worse than it was beforehand. Because now there's a sign saying, you can park all along this road, just not this last little tiny bit where the kids are actually standing. But now the visibility is blocked again, the traffic is back again, and we're here to ask for some better solution to our issue. In comparison, the other schools in our district, the other elementaries, have lots of no parking signs. And I have the actual measurements here and what the signs say. So Pleasant View mimics our school quite a bit in terms of not having sidewalks on their roads, be a very residential neighborhood. They have 450 feet along Marquette, which is like their Hilltop for us, 450 feet, no parking the entire school day. And their long residential road, Hilltop for us, where we all live, is called 46th Street over by Pleasant View. They have 1,100 feet of just no parking, period. No parking ever. We're not asking for anything nearly that extreme, but we would like a much better T-zone protected for our kids to keep the traffic down. Buses need this room for visibility, and to give our children the visibility to cross the road safely. Again, there's no crosswalk because we have no sidewalks, and there's no sidewalks for them to cross to. They have to walk in the street. Our agenda item, which our principal and superintendent will be speaking to soon, is to do 100 feet on one side of the road and 50 on the other, and I'm not sure what on Hilltop. What we as parents would be most comfortable with would be 100 feet. It is drastically less than what any other elementary school has. It's really not that far, but we would just like a uniform 100 on both sides going on 35th and 100 going down Hilltop. So we have a nice T-zone, like I say, of visibility and decreased traffic for them to cross the road. The other photos here are just visuals of the signage at the other schools. And then pictures at the very bottom of what ours look like. Again, our signs right now are posted. You can barely fit a car in between the sign and the driveway, and no one parks that close anyways, to the very tip edge of the road. So we just need a little bit more space, and I think we'll feel a lot more comfortable. So thank you so much for your time. We might have a few other comments in the chair. Anything else you guys heard tonight? Roddy?
It's not on.
Just speak loud.
Hi, my name is Rodney Kaur. I am a student of Southwood Glen. I am a member of Student Council and Honor Student of Girl Scouts, Sunbeam, and a Sunbeam. I've came here to say that we should have a longer area where there should be no parking. Christmas should be a time where families should all spend time together. Sadly, Mr. Higgins would not be able to do that because both his daughter and his wife have been hit by cars and killed. Sadly, his daughter was a Girl Scout and his wife was a Girl Scout leader, and they were doing community service by picking up trash on the sidewalk. A car is hit in and hit three Girl Scouts. One of them is injured and in the hospital. This took place north of Wisconsin in Chippewa County. If we don't have signs, this could happen to students at Southwood Glen. Students won't be aware when a car is coming, and a car can hit them. This is very dangerous, especially in winter, which I brought up the last meeting. If a car comes and they don't see the student due to all the snow, they can accidentally hit the student without knowing. Therefore, we should have signs that has a larger amount of space for where the car should not park. This will be safer for all the students and parents who walk home.
Wow. Great.
So,
before you leave, you just did a very wonderful job, tremendous job. You did it better than any of us would have done. So I congratulate you on that. You did very well. And I got to tell you, when I was in seventh grade, I went before the Common Council because my school needed a stoplight in front of it. And after a period of time, I was successful. We'll see what happens here, but you did a wonderful job, and thanks for coming and doing that. Thank you very much. And you're going to be mayor now, because that's what I was.
Iowa, yeah.
So from the mouths of babes, right, it's really hard to follow that. But I'd say that certainly our concerns are born from the safety of the children, and that's why we came to the council.
Can we have your name and address, please?
I'm sorry?
Name and address, please.
Oh, Heather Herling, 9238 South Wildberry Way. So it's quite disappointing that we actually have to come in front of the council again and ask for signs to be put up. I felt that we presented a pretty strong case for the signs in the first place, considering that many of the other schools have the signs up, and it is very congested in that area. And as you all know, absent rules, people will go where they need to. And quite honestly, if there wasn't a need for rules, all of you wouldn't have a job, right? So it's really important that we have those in place. And right now they're not being followed, and that sign being put up shows to me that there really wasn't any due diligence done on the city in terms of putting them up and assessing the area. And I would say what Kelly asked for was probably the minimum of what should have done. If you really look at that area and pay attention to the patterns, the traffic patterns, even down Hilltop, there's a lot of cars coming in and out, and a lot of children coming in and out of there. And it's really important that we have some signage and that we push the parents to follow the rules for pickup.
Thank you.
So my name is Jessica Cabrera. I live at 3726 West Hilltop Lane. I'm here with my husband and my two small children who navigate that way every day when they walk home. We're not normally the type of people that would spend our night at a city council meeting, but I feel really strongly about my son. As you can see, he's just in second grade. He has to navigate this small way with trucks and cars and minivans, making U-turns. It's not safe. And I really hope that we can extend the area at least to give a visual so kids as little as Ravi and all the ones here have a safe place to cross. It worries me every day that they have to walk home from school. I live on Hilltop. I see the cars. They have no regard for the kids at all. So absent of some official change, I think something bad is going to happen. So I would really implore you all to consider our request.
Thank you. And I don't know if anybody told you all, but if you come and speak in citizens' comment period, you're required by ordinance to stay here for the rest of the meeting. To the end.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody. Anyone else with a citizens' comment period? It's not.
I agree. I can't follow that. You did an amazing job. My name is Bobby Bannock. My address is 9354 South 44th Court. And I'm here actually on behalf of the Volition. I just kind of wanted to say that I don't think that there's anybody in this room that hasn't been affected by cancer in their family. And back in 1950, it was pretty cool to smoke cigarettes. And I think it was encouraged. Because you looked cool, you were cool, you're in that convertible, you're driving around. My parents both passed away from cancer. And I don't think we know the harmful effects of vaping. We may not know that real long term. I'm also an RN. I'm the director of nursing at Clement Manor Nursing Home. And I've seen the effects of what cancer and lung cancers and things like that that have done to our elderly. And I don't think we know what our kids are going to be going through. Excuse me. If they continue to vape or to use electronic cigarettes. So I'm here on behalf of them that we support adding electronic cigarettes into Franklin's current tobacco ordinance. I think it's really important. We have a chance to stop it now, unlike anybody was able to stop it for my mom and dad back in 1950. I also am really annoyed when I see the younger kids out there vaping. And there's nothing I can do about it. And I think that's really sad. And I think you can do something about it, whether it's stricter laws, fines, something. I think there is something you can do. I don't know it all. This isn't my gift. I think you all can come up with something because the younger kids shouldn't be doing that. And we're here to protect them. I think it's our obligation to protect them. And I think it's our responsibility to protect them. I think that's all.
Thank you.
Thank
you. Set a mark for me.
Set
a mark for me.
Okay.
Hey, everyone. Love and Dusty. 8030 West Winston Way. I'd just like to criticize the fact that we don't have a good audio system. I've been coming here maybe for the last 10 years and asking for something to be done. And finally, it died tonight. And it is up to you, the common council, that should have done something prior. It's just like this roof business that we got. You wait till the water comes through to fix it. That's good business. You people ought to be ashamed of yourselves. The heating and air conditioning, all of that should have been taken care of periodically. I do that in my own home, and I don't know why you people. And this sound system finally died. One of the other issues, while they're talking about cigarettes here, I quit smoking in 1993, and I have no ill effect from the cigarettes, but I did quit. But I'm asking the city to include this in the new laws. This is chewing tobacco. There's a reason for this, because people are chewing it in places and are spitting this stuff out, and I think it should be part of the ordinance. This thing is a disaster because it affects your throat, cancer of the throat. It also affects your teeth, your jaws, and probably your lungs too. But I just hope that somebody will add this. You know why, don't you? But I really do want this to be added onto the smoking law and everything, because it says tobacco products, and this is a tobacco product. One of the other issues is item 2, where they're saying they're authorized to proceed with the firearm range capital improvement fund. I heard some time ago that range was used as a warehouse. No, I did not visit it, and so...
Make them
so
visit.
I can't imagine that. And why has it ever been used as a firing range?
You know, whoever tells you these things or whatever imagination comes up with, the old police station here,
yeah,
its firing range is used as a storage facility because the police are no longer here. The one that we're talking about tonight is in the police department, the new building, and it's used a lot.
That new one?
Yeah.
Well, maybe that's what they were referring to, the wrong firing range.
Whoever's giving you information doesn't know what they're talking about, which is not unusual.
Not shocking, right? Here.
Anyone else wishing to speak? Anyone else? Quick. Yes, sir.
My name is Bruce Demetrius. My address is 6024 West Galway. And I want to talk about the 4E monitoring committee. I would like to know the residents on the committee, if they have any business dealings or any relationships with either the city of Franklin or Payton Dole. And if so, how is that not a conflict of interest?
I don't have an answer for that. I don't believe anybody has a relationship.
Well, in August of 2016, Franklin contracted with Musen Brothers for almost $100,000. They were awarded a city contract. And one of the residents on that board works for them.
That's Mr. City Attorney.
I don't have the detail. I have some vague recollection of that being an issue. And whatever result was there was resolved.
But my question is, if they have business dealings with either Payne and Dolan or the city of Franklin, how can they be impartial when it comes to making decisions about that quarry? That's my question.
So this is a quarry monitoring committee member.
It's residents. One of the residents.
Is it a quarry monitoring committee member?
Yes.
Okay. And Houston is who?
General
Andrew Ruffin.
But for what? What was the project?
I couldn't tell you.
But
from what I understand, that Munson Brothers, he's a project manager for Munson Brothers, and he sits on the quarry committee. And what I understand is he got the that company got a contract with the city of Franklin.
For a project somewhere in the city?
I'm not sure. I think it's a roofing company.
Okay, well, yeah.
And my question is, I also understand that this company has dealings with Payne and Dolan.
Yeah.
And my question is, how is that possible to have a committee member that's a resident that's supposed to support the residents' problems and issues when they're doing business with both the Franklin City Government and Payne and Dolan? How is that impartial?
Mr. Citron.
Here's the answer. I think my recollection will lead me to the answer, and it goes into much more deeper detail might make it curative, whereby, yes, you're an employee of some company, but you have nothing to do whatsoever with these activities in that company, et cetera, et cetera. And so instead of sitting here and me hypothetically on every potential fact, I'll go back and find whatever notes I have on it, and I will let you know.
Would you send me a letter to that effect, to my address? You have my address.
I'll give you a phone call, and maybe I'll just email you what I have, or whatever I have.
Well, yeah, whatever, because I'd like to, because my understanding is that those resident members of the quarry monitoring should not have any conflicts of interest.
Nobody should have conflicts of interests in terms of government positions.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, anybody else?
Jeff Klinkowitz, 8088 South 57th Street. Just want to report that on December 10th, there was another big blast at the quarry. This was probably the second biggest blast I've ever felt. You guys are familiar with the October 1st blast that a lot of us at the last meeting complained about. This one was a house shaker. Windows, everything rattled. It was very evident. It was also a sunny, blue sky, not a cloud in the sky that day. It was at 1:04 in the afternoon. We were told that the October 1st blast that a large amount of people complained about was an air blast that was felt by us more in River Heights because that day was cloudy with a low ceiling. The sound went up, hit the low ceiling, bounced back down to the ground, went over the berm, and over to our neighborhood. My question is, how come on December 10th, when it was perfectly sunny, did we have that intense blast. Also, on the city complaint form that the residents can fill out, there is a box to check for specific blasts to have the quarry contact you. They have never contacted me. They have never contacted me October 1st about that specific blast. They never contacted me about the December 10th blast as of yet. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Quintoy. Anyone else? Kurt, how are you?
Hi. Good to see you. Kurt Bolton, 8035 West Imperial Drive. Last week I attended the Common Council meeting and Alderman Taylor questioned the thinking processes of people who voted against the referendum for the police. And he was talking about me, basically. But before you make any judgments about me, I did want to note that, you know, I did used to work as a professional engineer. I've worked for a number of municipalities in the past as their engineer. And you would think if they hire a professional engineer, the common council and the mayor would listen to what the, you know, that professional opinion would be. But that isn't always the case, and for a number of reasons. One, I could be wrong. And the other one was, is maybe I didn't do a good enough job of explaining the need and the ramifications of what a decision on this issue was. I don't doubt that this will come before us again, and I hope maybe that you might want to ask people who didn't vote against it exactly why and what would have convinced them to vote yes on this, because I'm not here to say I know more than you guys. I don't. But I think sometimes you just need to do a better job of explaining the need for increased taxes, especially in a place as conservative as Franklin, which basically has, you know, tried to reduce taxes for a very long time. The other thing I want to talk about is at another meeting, the alderman of my district, Alderman Mayer, made this suggestion that it might be a good idea for the Common Council to have some idea of the impact on the need for police and fire and public works on development. Alderman Taylor at that time suggested that was micromanaging. I don't think so. I think that's something that the Common Council and the mayor does need to know. What is the effect on development? And think proactively instead of reactively. And just try and anticipate these needs and make sure that when the time comes, we need to add people to police and fire and public works, that we've got, you know, the tax revenue to pay for it instead of trying to do a referendum type thing. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Kurt. Good to see you.
Good evening. Jill Erickson, 8016 South 60th Street. I'm here with some of my other neighbors regarding the quarry blasts. My alderman, Mike Barber, sent to me a copy of a letter that the mayor just sent to Clint Winninger of the, I don't know if I'm pronouncing that correctly, of the quarry with addressing concerns a lot of us had. I'm glad to see there's some movement there. I think a lot of these suggestions have been made from the Quarry Monitoring Committee in the past. They are suggestions that would be outside of the PDDs, the actual ordinances. So I guess some of my concerns are, how could they be legally binding if we are able to agree to that? And part of the letter states that some or all of the agreement may come up to be subject to approval by the Common Council. I think the Common Council should be privy in on all of that. So again, going back to full disclosure, transparency, and everybody taking a look at these kinds of negotiations to give the residents a little less shaken and So I would like to see at the next Quarry Monitoring Committee meeting an opportunity for residents to, again, in that open dialogue way, talk with the committee members and review some of this information and somehow have this letter more available to residents so they can see the response that the mayor has set forth and ideas for remedying these really strong blasts and monitoring them and getting the information out.